So let's just take a minute to remember why we came. There's a message for us tonight. Today, there's a message for us today. There's a message just for you today. And you're here in order to get your message. And your message is whatever you hear today that really speaks to you and appeals to you. The rest of it, just forget about it. Just forget about the rest of it, the stuff you don't agree with that I might say, or the stuff you don't understand that I might say, or what doesn't make sense. Just forget about it and focus on whatever you hear that makes sense to you and that inspires you, because that's your special message from your higher self, the God within. I'm going to say it again, because it's very difficult sometimes for people to get this, because it's different from the way we've been taught. It doesn't matter if you agree with what the Course says. It doesn't matter if you understand it. It doesn't matter if you believe it. What you're doing is you're looking for your special message. And your special message will be whatever you hear that speaks to you. That's the only reason why you're here. It's the only reason why you're here, is to get your special message. So let's just open ourselves up to our message. Okay. So let me ask you, is everybody clear on that? That what we're trying to do is, each one of us, we're trying to receive an individual message from our higher self, and that none of this has anything to do with trying to figure out something I say that you don't understand or you don't agree with. Because that's really different from the way we are oriented toward learning. So therefore, you're just listening for what?
Your special message.
And what would be your special message?
Only you know.
But how would you know it was your special message?
It makes you mad.
How would you know it's your special message?
It will resonate with you.
You know for yourself. If you hear something that makes you mad, and that's how you discern your special message, and that's the way it works for you. If somebody else needs to feel peace for that to be their special message, then that's the way it works. See, it's an individual thing. And that's what I love about the way I teach. Because I try to always empower the individual to be able to find the answers from within themselves. What's the trip is that the universal intelligence that we call God is constantly communicating with us according to the Course. But the Course teaches that we're so preoccupied with this thoughts that we've made up that we don't hear that voice. So we say, well, I'm not getting an answer. And the truth is, we're getting answers all the time. But usually, unless it's the one we made up, we don't listen to it. See, I'm looking for a red answer. So unless the answer comes in the color red, I haven't heard it, you know. Now, so just keep in mind that the answer might be something that you didn't think of. I didn't want to say that. I was hoping somebody else would. Okay, I'm going to be on page 230, paragraph 2. We're actually going to start on Looking Within on page 229. It's a section called Looking Within on chapter 12, page 229. Chapter 12, page 229. The section is called Looking Within. What I try to do is give you a modern language version of the Course by giving you a lot of the definitions of the Christian terminology, so that we can go straight to the heart of the meaning real quick. The first one says, miracles demonstrate that learning has occurred under the right guidance. Well, learning is invisible, and what has been learned can be recognized only by its results. See, that's three different universal laws right there. If you have a miracle, And the Course in Miracles says that a miracle is nothing but a correct perception. That if we have a correct perception of something, it's a miracle. Okay, everybody clear on that? That's why it's called a Course in Miracles. It says if we have a correct perception, it's a miracle. So, I'll say it again. Correct perceptions demonstrate that learning has occurred under the right guidance. So if you're seeing with love, then you know that you've learned something under the right guidance. If you're seeing a situation with peace, you know you've learned something under the right guidance. It says learning is invisible. That's pretty obvious if you check everybody out. Right? That's the next sentence. It says learning is invisible. And since learning is invisible, you can only recognize what's been learned by its results. So you know what you've learned by the results that you have. So you know what you've learned about money by the money you have. You know what you've learned about relationships by the relationships you have. You know what you've learned about peace by the peace you have. You know what you've learned about happiness by the happiness you have. So you can always tell what you've learned by the results, so you can always work back from the results to the cause. So how well are we doing in our learning? I saw some pretty disgusting looks on people's faces as I was saying that. Your results aren't exactly thrilling you? Anybody in here got some areas that their results are not exactly thrilling them?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Course says when you really learn something, and what's really cool about the truth is it says that if it's something that comes from the truth, that you can use it in all times and all places, in any situation and any circumstance. That's how you can tell the truth from something that's not the truth. If it's the truth, it can be used universally. And the Course in Miracles teaches that if it's an illusion, it only has a specific function or specific use. Like, I can use the tape recorder to tape the class, but I can't use the tape recorder to jack my car up and change the tire. So, therefore, the tape recorder is an illusion. It's not the truth. If it was the truth, I could use it in every situation, every circumstance that I would need it in. So, the Course says you will see that what you've learned is the truth when you start using it in more and more and more situations. So the more you use what you've learned in more and more situations, the Course says that that's how you can tell that you're finally beginning to generalize the truth. In other words, no matter what situation that I go into, I have the same purpose in every situation that I go into in my life. So therefore, I don't have to figure out how to act or what to do, no matter where I am. I was with the guys in my men's group last night. I had one goal, peace. How much peace could I bring into their experience? Went to Moscow Underground, jammed to some progressive house music Saturday night. What was my goal? Peace. To bring peace to everybody in the underground. You see what I'm saying? Going to 7-Eleven, what's my goal? Peace. See, so I don't have to figure out what it is I'm supposed to do in any situation that I'm in. So if it's the truth, I want to use it in every situation. Now, then he says, you will recognize that you have learned there is no order of difficulty in miracles when you apply it in every situation. I will recognize that I have learned that there's no order of difficulty in seeing correctly. When I start seeing correctly in every situation, then I know there's no order of difficulty. It's not any harder for me to see correctly in one situation than to see correctly in another situation. For instance, if I'm really upset right now, I could say, in this situation right now, what I feel is fear, and I'm seeing correctly. Because that's honestly what I feel in this situation. If I go in a situation where I feel peace, I can say, what I honestly feel in this situation is peace. So I did the same thing again. I still applied the truth in that situation. So you can apply the truth in every situation. You can apply, for instance, every situation that I go in, I'm giving that situation all the meaning that it has for me. All day long. So I can apply that truth to any situation that I'm in. The situation with my child, what I'm going through with my child, I'm giving that all the meaning it has for me. What I'm going through with my boss, that's all the meaning I have. I give it all the meaning it has for me. In my relationship, I'm giving that all the meaning that it has for me. Notice that if it's a truth thought, I can apply the truth thought to every situation. I'm giving that big piece of apple pie that I'm craving that I'm not supposed to eat all the meaning that it has for me. I'm giving that cigarette. I'm trying not to smoke, and I'm going crazy to smoke, all the meaning that it has for me. What I'm actually looking at is all the meaning that I've given to the cigarette. I've given it so much meaning that I can't even function without it. That's how much meaning it has for me. So I'm really addicted to the meaning and not my cigarette. I'm really addicted to the meaning that alcohol has for me, but not the alcohol. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a meaningholic. You know, I'm hooked on my meanings. You with me? Alright, okay. Alright. Now try to fight the temptation to analyze it. Okay? Try to fight the temptation to analyze it or to figure it out. There's some things I just want you to hear for a minute, and then we'll throw it open to try to destroy the meaning of it. Okay. Now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's exactly, when you get through analyzing, everybody's, you know, analyzing, breaking down, well, nobody know what nothing meant. And then the ego would feel like, oh, venerated. Okay? But we call it really trying to understand what's going on. That's the code name. I'm trying to understand what's going on.
Would you say, oh, venerated?
Yeah. Yeah, venerated.
What does that mean?
Venerated means that it's true for me. I have proven that it's valid.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't, you know, somebody channeled that to me. I just said venerated. Okay. Now, here's the other thing. Now, the Course says we apply the truth, it's a miracle. So everywhere we see miracle, I'm going to say the truth, okay? Now, check the next sentence out. It says, there is no situation in which correct perceptions of the truth do not apply, and by applying correct perceptions to all situations, you will gain the real world. So if I apply the truth to every situation, I'll gain the real world. And the real world is a world in which there is no fear. So the Course says you go to a perception of an experience that there is no fear when you start using correct perception in every situation that you're in. And then the Course calls that a holy perception. If I'm having a healed perception, a loving perception, a truth perception, he says, then you will be made whole. You will be made true. You will be made. I have a loving perception. I will be made love. If you really have a loving perception, you will be made love too. That might motivate somebody to start the workbook today. It's all a matter of motivation, you know what I'm saying? That's what the book says. It's just a matter of motivation. You know, how motivated are you, Earl? You know? Then it says, when you are made whole, he says, and the atonement. Now, let's take that word atonement. Now, that kind of gripes me when I first heard that word atonement. And so the Course in Miracles says the atonement is the undoing of fear. The atonement is the correction of error. So, in your true perception of yourself, you are made whole. And since you are made whole, the undoing of your fear will radiate from your acceptance of it. Oh, I love that. For yourself. Oh, I'll say it again. The undoing of fear will radiate from my acceptance of the truth for myself. I'll say it again. The undoing of your fear will radiate from your acceptance of the undoing of your fear, the atonement, the correct perception. So my acceptance of it radiates out from me and creates it for me. My acceptance of the love radiates it out to everyone that the Holy Spirit is going to send to me for my blessing. Whew, that's a deep sentence. That is a deep sentence. Let me see if I can hear it. If I can hear it, you'll probably hear it too. Okay, here, this is the way it goes. First, I have a healed perception. It makes me heal. Then my own healing will radiate from my acceptance of my own healing to everyone God is sending to me to bless me. My acceptance of the truth will radiate from me to heal the people who are sent to me by the universe to be blessed by me. Your acceptance of how loving you are will radiate to everyone who will be sent to you to be blessed, because the cool people are going to be sent to be blessed and to be healed by you. People come into our lives to be blessed and healed by us, not to just take us to the movie. Mm-hmm. So, why is it that the really cool people haven't been coming into my life? Well, I haven't accepted the truth so that I can radiate the blessing that I need to give to the people who will be sent to me by God, because the people who are sent to me by God will be the right people for me. The book says that the people who are sent to you by God are the people who need you just the way you are right now. So that means that a person that's really sent to you by love is not a person that needs you to change. They are people who want you to be more yourself as you are. How can I tell when someone's sent by God? Well, if somebody's sent by God, they will need me just the way I am. They won't be constantly trying to get me to change and to be something that I'm not in order to please them or help them or make them be happy. Okay, now, those of us who have a lot of people who are sent to us who are asking us to change, but we still want to be with them, we're going to not like that. Okay, what we're going to say is something like, well, you know, the people who have helped me out the most are the people who came into my life that really tested me and challenged me to see what I was made out of. Y'all familiar with that? Okay, now, this is what you might want to think about before you take that position. You are requesting people who challenge you and give you a hard time to come into your life all the time in order for you to be happy. So be very aware. Is that really the nature of the relationship you want with everybody you meet, that they're constantly challenging you every second in order to grow? I used to think that way, especially when I was surrounded by people I didn't like, but I wanted to keep them in my life. But what's really cool now, though, is that I'm finding that it's easier for me to be loving with people I love, it's easier for me to be grateful for people I appreciate, and it's easier for me to be happy around people that I can be myself around. So all the stuff I used to struggle to try to do because I was trying to do it with the people who were the wrong people for me, now it comes natural and my life just gets better. I had a chance to try both positions. So those of you who still feel the need to be constantly faced with challenges in order to grow, what is so cool about the universe is you will continue to be presented with the challenges that you need. So don't worry about it. I'm not asking you to sacrifice that. Those of you who are at the point that you're willing to look at it differently, which is to say something like, okay, I'm going to start trying to accept the truth for myself so that I can let the radiance of my own acceptance of the truth for myself bless everybody that's going to be sent to me from love for me to bless. Because I want to meet the people who are being sent to me from love. That's the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? I'll say it again. As you accept the truth for yourself, what is the truth? That you are really loving, that you're really lovable, that you're really powerful, that you're really not a victim, that you really are spirit, that you really are innocent, that you really are free, that you are not your body. As you accept that you are not your body, but you have a body. The Course says your acceptance of it will radiate from you to the people who are going to be sent to you by the Holy Spirit for you to bless. That is so cool, because that means just in my acceptance of the truth for myself, I am creating the radiance that will heal the people, and I don't have to try to heal nobody. My radiance will be healing it. And what is my radiance? I never thought of radiance as the acceptance of the truth. I thought of radiance like some kind of ray. But I never really thought of a radiance as an acceptance, that an acceptance is a radiance. Wow. That explains something, see? Because if I'm accepting that I'm not enough, I'm radiating that, right? And in radiating that, I what? I attracted and created for myself. But I don't know that what's happening is that I'm always radiating. It's just sometimes I'm radiating what I don't want to receive. Because I've accepted it for me by saying, I am not enough. Radiation, Earl is not enough. Radiation, Earl is not enough. Radiation. So what does he attract? People who think Earl is not enough. Where did you come from? Your radiation. And you gave me your phone number. Both of them. I want to make sure this lesson could reach me. In some cases, I give them the email too. I'm going to make sure that lesson gets to me. Okay. All right. Then it says, and every child of God the Holy Spirit's blessing lies, and in your blessing of the children of God is God's blessing to you. So everything's blessing to me is my blessing to you. My blessing you gives everything's blessing to me. Because the Course says God is everything. So I'll say it one more time, and I keep saying it over and over again because this is so different from the way that I'm taught to think that sometimes it's easy for me to forget this. Because I think I have problems that this didn't just apply to. But the truth is, that was a very practical paragraph. First of all, if I'm getting a healing, then I know I've been learning under the right guidance, and I know what I've learned by the results of it. If I've really learned it, I'm going to use it in every situation, and I'll know it's not hard when I'm using it in every situation. But guess what? There is no situation where the truth doesn't apply. So if I applied the truth in every situation, I would gain the real world. And when I'm in the real world, I'm seeing myself as healed, I'm seeing myself as whole. My acceptance that I'm healed and whole radiates from me to bless the people that love is going to send me. So when I bless you, everything blesses me. But I bless you by accepting the truth for myself. I don't bless you by trying to go out and bless you. My accepting the truth for myself is blessing you. Earl accepting that he's okay, that he's cool, that he's free, that he's not a victim. Let me tell you, me taking responsibility for my life blesses y'all. Because the people that's knocking folk in the head are the ones who are not taking responsibility for their life. And the ones who are blaming everybody else. Those are the ones you got to watch out for. But a person who's taking responsibility saying, I want to be the most loving person I know how to be, I'm blessing everybody. I'm taking another nut off the street. I'm taking another insane person off the street. I'm blessing all of y'all. Say thank you.
Thank you.
See, that's the problem here. We don't recognize the blessing. I don't recognize that it's a blessing for me to be in the room with all of you and you being peaceful toward me. That in itself is a blessing. That's what I should be giving thanks for. But my ego is looking for some material thing in most cases, or some form of specialness. And when I get that, then I'll be thankful. But I'm overlooking the fact that I'm sitting in a room full of people who want to grow spiritually and they're totally peaceful. That's the biggest blessing of all. But I'm so insane, I don't even see it. Because I've made up needs that I don't really have in order to survive. Most of the stuff I want have nothing to do with my survival. Most of the things I worry about have nothing to do with my existence. I will live without a car. I will live without a chair. You understand what I'm saying? I will live without most of the stuff in the mall. You know, I will live whether I pay my credit card or not. All the stuff I worry about absolutely has nothing to do with my life, most of it, even on a physical level. But the stuff that really matter, I don't even think about, like being so grateful for this beautiful day and so grateful for the air that I'm breathing and so grateful for the clothes I'm wearing and so grateful for the friends in my life and so grateful for the sun to shine and so grateful that I had food to eat. See, those kind of things are, at the level of the physical body, very, very important. But what's the average person worried about? Whether or not I'm able to get a flat screen TV. That's not sinful. I'm not another person that's putting down materiality. The Course is just saying our values are all screwed up. And so we make ourselves unhappy most of the time about things that don't have anything to do with who we really are. So if I accept the truth for myself, that I'm innocent, that I'm a child of God, then the Course says from the acceptance of that truth, it will radiate out into my environment and start blessing everything around me, and then everything around me will start to bless me. And that will include taking the form of what I think I need at a physical level. Even my physical self will be taken care of. Isn't that great? What's easier, to accept the truth for yourself or try to make sure your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your cousin, and your boss, and the people on TV and other races and nationalities and groups accept the truth? Which one is easier? I just throw it out. Which one of those? So really, I should be happy that it's only talking about I need to accept the truth for myself. Should be just thrilling. But to accept that, I'd have to admit I could be making some errors. That it could actually be me that's making me unhappy. If I admit that I only need to change me, that's me having to also admit that it's only me to begin with. And it's only you. to begin with. And it's only me to begin with. We pass the contact list around. Please put your name, phone number, and email if you haven't done it since the first of the year. Please, 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 please. Please.
I did this lifetime line that came out in the paper, every book. And I decided that I was kind of applied it my own way by saying, by looking at times in my life where I didn't get the love I wanted or thought I needed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I started when I was very young. And it was very interesting because as I got older and older, I realized that I was creating all those situations where I wasn't getting the love I wanted. When you're a kid, it's like, it does feel like you're a victim. It does feel like you don't have that much because you don't know yet.
Guess what? Most people feel like that though, right?
Yeah.
So most people are still, so we're still kids.
Right.
The Course in Miracles is saying that we're just kids. We're some old looking kids, but we were the ones who arbitrarily said 21 years old, you're grown.
Yeah.
Maybe on the God scale, you're still a kid. How do I know I'm still a kid? Because I'm doing just like she said a kid does. I'm still blaming. It still looks like everything that's happened to me is being caused by something outside of me. So I'm still a kid. I'm still a kid in some areas of my life. Okay. Now, I finished that paragraph. That was just one paragraph. And any questions or any comments about anything I've said? Yeah.
So when you switch from trying it one way,
uh-huh,
the challenge way,
right,
versus the new way.
Okay.
Did your universe of people change?
My universe of people changed tremendously. And I didn't put anybody out of my life. That was the interesting thing about the whole thing. There was never anybody I called up and said, you know, I just changed my mind and you're out. You know what I'm saying? I figured you just need to be checked right on off my list. I found that the more I took responsibility, the more I chose for peace, the people who needed conflict just faded out of my life. And what was left was peace. I used to chase after the people who left me. I used to put all my attention on trying to get the person who was rejecting me. But I'm going to say two things that I think would be great to write down and put up on the wall somewhere in your house or in the bathroom or, you know what I'm saying? Rejection is protection. Rejection is protection. Y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Rejection is protection. And I'll explain that just a little bit in a minute. Rejection is redirection. Rejection is redirection. Rejection is protection. Rejection is redirection. Rejection is protection. How is rejection protection? If you reject me, then obviously you're not good for me. So you just protected me from entering into a relationship with someone who could not accept me or appreciate me. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You just protected me from some form of attack, judgment, criticism, and hard time. You redirected me. I came up to you and I asked you for your phone number and you told me, get away, you were going to mace me. A conscious being knows they were just redirected. In other words, I'm saying, I'm not the right one. You need to keep looking in another direction. Now, the Course in Miracles says the ego is the part of our mind that loves rejection and is attracted to rejection because that fulfills the belief we have that we're not enough. So a person who believes they're not enough is attracted to rejection. So they are attracted to the people who reject them, and they reject the people who accept them. So you're the most loving one in the experience, but you're getting the least amount of attention from a person who doesn't love themselves because they cannot respond to a person who loves them. If you're in a relationship with a person who doesn't love themselves, they cannot respond to you. And that's why they don't. They don't even know how. They don't even see your love. They don't even recognize what you're doing. And that's why you get so frustrated when you think you're giving up the love and it's not being received. You're right. It isn't being received because you're giving that person something they don't think they deserve. So therefore, they don't appreciate it and they don't want it. And you see that same person give all their energy to the person who rejects them and mistreats them. You've seen it. Every one of us has seen it. Probably we've all done it. If we be honest. That we've all chased someone in our lives or something in our lives that didn't want us. And we were like addicted to it. Just the more they didn't want us, the more we wanted them. You know, because you touch, why are you running after me? Because you're telling me the truth about myself. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. You've proven it to me. I'm right. So I want you. The person who loves me, I think that person is just a bad judge of character. I don't trust him at all. You love me? Then you certainly don't know what's going on. You love me? You couldn't possibly recognize love if you love me. I'm getting away from you. Like what that old saying, you know, I wouldn't want to be a member of a club that would have me. I'm telling you, there are a lot of brothers and sisters that are out there like that, and they are cute, so don't be fooled. Because, you know, they'll be cute, and you overlook their insanity. You tell yourself something like, well, I'll just get them in the course. I'm going to take them to class, and we're going to study together. You know, beware when you start using that reasoning. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Not compatible with you at all, but you're getting all ready to get them all educated in the thing that you like. All right. Anybody else?
I know that is true. That has been certainly my experience. So when there's a separation, I mean that in the worldly way, but mm-hmm. the spiritual way, of the two parties then, but you still have to work things out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to communicate back and forth,
mm-hmm.
which is my situation now. I find myself mm-hmm. in conflict between relating to them on the ego level, which is the only level that they seem to be able to relate to,
mm-hmm.
which leads to anger, resentment, fear, all that crap.
So whose part?
My part. I'm speaking for myself.
Okay.
And then really wanting to answer the call for love,
mm-hmm.
but fearing that either they won't comprehend what I'm trying to do or they'll misinterpret it.
What you want to do is accept the truth for yourself. When you accept the truth for yourself, the radiance of that acceptance will bless that person and you'll have a healing. So all you are experiencing really is the fact that you haven't blessed yourself yet. And when you bless yourself by accepting the truth for yourself, as you do that, either he'll change or you won't care. Mm-hmm. Either he'll change or you won't care, because you won't lose your peace no matter what he does. And really, the only reason why you're dealing with him right now is you're trying to give yourself some peace. Well, why don't you just go straight to the peace and leave him out? You don't need him to have peace. You don't need him to do anything for you to have peace. And as long as you believe that your peace at any level rests on him, then you're giving your power away, radiating that you don't have peace, and then he reflects the peace that you don't have right back at you by giving you a hard time, which therefore is reflecting back that you have not accepted the truth for yourself yet. So the easiest way to handle this whole thing is to continue to love yourself, to continue to give yourself the truth, continue to choose for peace in every situation, and continue to keep the idea in mind that I don't want my peace to be dependent on what he says or does, and also do whatever legal things you need to do. you know, it's like, don't get me wrong. You know, do whatever you think you need to do at the level of the world and still do the spiritual practice. But don't think that your peace is in the least bit in any kind of way related to the physical material outcome of the situation. Your peace, it's actually, the truth is, if he started acting the way you wanted him to act, it would further reinforce the idea in your mind that you can't have peace until somebody else changes. Mm-hmm. So his being loving towards you would actually set you back spiritually. And that's what's happening with most people. Most people are making their peace dependent on somebody else changing some kind of way, which would really just reinforce the idea that their peace comes from outside themselves, even though they feel better. But you've actually taken yourself, because the next time you get upset, you will be even more determined to change that person again, or another person, you know. But he's the only one you haven't quit trying to change, because at the point that you were not trying to change him, then you would not lose your peace.
I know I quit trying to change him.
But you just said a minute ago you were not at peace with him.
Well, it's resolving these legal things.
Same thing.
Okay.
Listen. Listen, it has nothing to do with anything outside of you. If you could give yourself peace without needing anything outside of you to change, that's how you would increase the possibility of having the outside change. As long as you make your peace dependent on his behavior changing, you are reinforcing the idea that your happiness comes from outside of yourself, and the universe does not support that premise. And that's why most people struggle all the time, because they really aren't getting any help from the universe, because the universe is not going to help you deceive yourself. And so it would be helping you deceive yourself if it made you think that anything about your peace was dependent on anything outside of yourself that you're telling yourself.
And I got the peace down except that one piece.
Well, if you don't have it completely, that's the area where you're not applying the truth.
Right.
You're not applying the truth to him. That's the only reason why he's left out. That's the only reason why. Okay. Well, most people always ask questions that they already think they have the answer to anyway. Most questions are always statements that are disguised as questions. That's just normal. That's the way we do it as humans. You know, so that's okay.
What?
No, yeah. Yeah, the Course talks about it. The Course calls it an honest question. It says that an honest question is a question that you ask with absolutely not the faintest idea of what the answer is whatsoever. And the reason why you know that is because whatever the answer is you get, you'll go, okay, and you'll try it. It's like when you're in a town and you're lost and somebody says, you say, how do I get to such and such a street? And they say, you go up two streets and you turn right. You know what you do? You go right up two streets and turn right. You don't usually go, well, do I go this way? Do I go that way? If you really don't know, then you're going to follow exactly what they say. So just keep in mind that until you ask a question with nothing in your mind about what the answer is, the Course says you can't get an honest answer. As long as I think I know, then I'm going to defend my point of view. And what I'm looking for is for the person to agree with what I already have decided the answer is. And so no answer they're going to give me is going to be acceptable until they say what I wanted them to tell me. So when you're talking to somebody, and every time you give them an answer, and they give you a yes, but in any kind of way, you know they're fishing for you to come into agreement with an answer they already have when they ask you the question. So it'd be better to go, how do you want to deal with this? That's why you throw it back at them. Well, how do you want to deal with this? Because they already know. And then they'll tell you, well, you know what I really think I ought to do, but you just asked me. Right? But the minute I threw it back, you went, well, I kind of think I ought to da, 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 da. So remember that the Course teaches that the only thing that's important when you're answering anything anybody says is that you try to give to them what you want to receive. Because they are not going to hear you anyway. They're only going to hear their own thoughts. So it doesn't matter what you say, really. But where it matters is that you are going to hear what you say. So what you're saying is really teaching you. So that's why you tell people what you want to learn. It don't matter whether they get it or not, or believe it or not, or agree with you or not. I'm going to say it's a call for love. They might go, there's no call for love. If my daddy did me like that, that certainly wasn't no call for love. Okay. But guess what? I just taught myself it's a call for love. So guess what? When I teach myself that those upsetting situations are calls for love, and I keep telling myself it's a call for love, and I keep telling myself this upsetting situation is a call for love, do you know that sooner or later my mind is going to what? Start bringing me love every time there's a situation that I'm upset in or afraid. Soon as something upsets me, peace is going to come. Because I've trained my mind that every time something upsets me in any way, it's a call for peace. And it's a call for love. But it's a training situation. So it doesn't seem to happen at first. But after a while, you'll see that as soon as you try to screw up something, as if by magic, something comes right behind that and cleans up the whole thing. Because you've practiced the truth so long that your mind has been trained to bring you love when you are in fear. Instead of bringing you more fear, it brings you love. Because you've been calling it that. It's a call for love. My horrible relationship with my dad is a call for love. My relationship with my boss is a call for love. My relationship, you know, all that stuff that's upsetting me is my call for love. So you keep doing it over and over again to everything that upsets you, and after a while you start receiving love when you used to receive more fear and attack. I'm telling you, it works. But it won't work if you analyze it. I guarantee you that. You can analyze the Course till you're blue in the face. It will not work for you. It's anti-analyzation. Anal, It's the first pie to analyze, right? A-N-A-L. It's as anal as it can be. And then it's in the end of it, it's lies. Anal lies. It does. While I'm analyzing the answer, I could be taking it. While I'm looking at the medicine, I could be taking it. If I stop staring at the medicine cabinet and take the medicine, my headache would be gone. But I keep my headache as long as I keep looking at the aspirin. I know people who looked at the aspirin for 20 years. They analyzed it for years. Just analyzed it a little bit off. Still got the same problem, but they analyzed. Well, you said that, but I thought the core said that. And when I went to the other class, they said that. And when you said that, I just read that. But when I went to the other person's class, they just said, so funny. So funny. God, I used to give myself such a hard time. Okay? Anybody else? Any questions? Any comments?
You're great.
Thank you. That's the kind of comment that's sweet to my soul. I appreciate that.
Earl, I just realized this today. People always used to come to me and tell me all their problems all the time. And I think that used to drag me down. But guess what happened now? I had a big change. People are coming to me and telling me their miracles.
All right. All right.
Awesome.
That's all right. All right. Same thing happened to me. Everybody I'm meeting now, you know, I don't care who it is. Somebody I know they slipped some truth into me on the side. You know what I'm saying? Went to a restaurant last week with a friend. We were talking the truth the whole time, having a great time, rapping, you know, focusing on what was real. And that's back that's why we was glad we was there, because we weren't going to talk about that same old yang-yang victim stuff that we always hear everybody talking about. We're going to focus on the truth. Then got through and then got ready to go. And the people that, you know, the people say, hey, you don't have to pay for the meal. It's free. Just go. I said, okay. Dog. All right. All right. Now, there'll be some days it looks like I'm around insane people that are crazy and mean and cruel. But guess what? It's not as much as it used to. It used to be all cruel people, one sane person. Right? Now it's 90% sane people went up against a nut self every now and then. Because I have nut selves out there. They're me. They're just crazy as they can be. And that's when I appreciate the separation. That's when separation is the coolest thing in the world. Because at this level, you want to be glad that you can separate. On a level that there is not real love being manifested outwardly, you want to be glad you can get in your car and separate. But yet we feel guilty about using separation to give us peace. It's like if I leave a situation so that I can have peace, I'll feel guilty. But the truth is, that's the best thing I could do. If I can't change the situation, is to leave it so that we'll both stop conflicting with each other and we'll both have peace. The only reason why I would stay is because I love conflict. And I think I deserve the conflict and the punishment of that conflict. So I'm staying there because I love conflict. And if you love your conflict, there's a problem with that. If you ever admit you love your conflict, now I'm going to give you a hint. If you ever love your conflict's going to go away. If you go, I love this thing I keep on going through over and over again with my boyfriend. I love this stuff I keep on going over and again with my ex. I love, why? Because how could I not love it? I'm going through it all the time. It's happening over and over and over and over again. So what should I do, Earl? Well, what I should do is accept the truth for myself as much as I can so that I can radiate an acceptance of it that will allow me to bless that around me so that it can give me peace. See, that's cool. I thought you was going to tell me I had to go try to think of another way to approach my ex. No, the best thing you could probably do right now is just focus on your own peace. Because if you were to focus on your own peace, your peace would create peace in your life. But if I set it up where I got to change my ex, then I'm taking my peace away because I'm giving my power away. The universe does not want me to give my power away. So guess what? There seems to be no solution to this problem, and it keeps coming up over and over and over and over again. Why? Because I believe that when this changes, I can have peace. So I am using the erroneous premise that my peace is being determined by something outside of myself changing, and the universe is not supporting that. Whew. I am willing to change my mind. I want another way to look at it. You know what's cool about saying that? The course, you notice that you will get the same results from wanting something sincerely as you do from being able to do it. It is weird. Wanting to love the people around me is bringing me as much love as being able to love the people around me. I'm still not able to love unconditionally, but I've noticed just wanting to love unconditionally has brought people into my life that want to love unconditionally. So we tell ourselves, well, it's not going to work until I've accepted 100%. No, it will begin to work when you sincerely desire the goal. Great. What was your comment, question?
There's a little bit, a few sentences back when you were talking about separation.
Yeah.
Being a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing peace.
Mm-hmm.
While you're working something out.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like maybe that would, I didn't hear her for a legal situation, but it seemed like that was an act of peace by working out separation at that level.
Yeah, we should not feel guilty. Yeah, we should not feel guilty about, separating to heal.
Exactly.
The only thing that matters is your purpose. So if your purpose is to heal, then separating is a good thing. If your purpose is to heal, that doesn't mean you've abandoned. It means you've actually brought some peace into that situation.
Space.
Yeah, sometimes you need space to heal. It's amazing. You know what's so good about space? Is that when you get space for the person and you still find you recreate the same thing with somebody else, you know it never was the person, so you don't even have to worry about forgiveness. Because if it was really them, you wouldn't have that problem no more than once they were gone out of your life. But if you find yourself having that problem with all the people you meet after you've been with them a while, you might come to the conclusion that the only common denominator in all those situations is who? It's me! Well, could that have something to do with this? Earl has been in every relationship Earl has ever been in. Maybe there's a connection between that and his misery. I don't know. It might be a stretch. You know? But I'm still looking for that person or that situation that's going to be so cool, I'm going to finally be happy for real for the first time in my life. Anybody still got that dream somewhere that you know that it's going to happen one day? Happiness is just going to show up. And then you're just going to feel so good because it's going to show up. Isn't that great? How many of y'all been waiting for that? How long have you... How long have you been waiting for that happy day to just show up? That perfect pot that they just going to walk in the door. I'm a perfect being, and I'm just looking for somebody as imperfect as you. I'm trying so hard to get a dysfunctional woman, I don't know what to do. I'm just looking for one. I've healed all my issues, and I just found a woman with plenty of issues. Yeah, that's the way we think. It's like I'm going to get this super being while I'm all screwed up. They're just looking for screwed up people. This perfect person just looking for somebody that's all messed up. Woo! How do you think the happy person stays happy? They join with people that's whole and complete as themselves. What about those of us who are not whole and complete? Well, we get each other to practice on. What's the cool part about that? We all the same screwed up. So we all got times we can love and times we don't, times we fear, times we love, times we feel guilty, times we feel innocent. Everybody in here does. So we really are in a room full of people who are just alike. So who could be more forgiving than somebody who's just like you and knows it? If I know I'm just like you, I forgive you instantly. Of course you're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes too. Of course you're going to get angry sometimes. I get angry too. Of course you're going to feel rejected sometimes. I feel rejected sometimes too. So when you act crazy, I can forgive you because I act crazy too. But we do just the opposite. We condemn people for acting like us. And then wonder why people aren't compassionate when we're acting crazy. And we don't know we're just meeting our own karma. When I do it, it's a mistake. When you do it, you should be electrocuted. Right? Isn't that the way we do it? If it's me, forgive me. If it's you, it's a crime. Boy, I tell you. So what are we going to do? We're going to accept that we are cruel people. And we're going to let the acceptance of that radiate to bless those that love is going to start sending to us starting today. Because you only deserve love, peace, security, safety, prosperity, abundance, health, life, joy, fulfillment. That's all you deserve. The end. We acknowledge ourselves. All right. Let's acknowledge ourselves. All right. You know, it's practice, right? I mean, if I'm not going to acknowledge me, why in the world should anybody else? If I don't love me, why should anybody else? I'm really getting that now. That's not just some doggone little cute saying that you read in a book. All of a sudden, I realize I'm holding everything against everybody else that I'm not giving myself. I'm holding against everybody else what I am not giving Earl. I'm not giving Earl acknowledgement yet. I'm mad at somebody else for not giving me acknowledgement. I'm not recognizing Earl's value yet. I'm mad because somebody else not recognizing my value. Everything I'm mad at somebody about is something I'm not giving myself. Everything you're mad at somebody about is just something you aren't giving yourself. And it's easier to give it to yourself than to have somebody else give it to you. Take you out to dinner. Leave a loving message for you on the voicemail from you. A lot of times I do that. Leave myself a voicemail. It's so cool that when I call to answer my phone, I hear, Earl, is that you, man? You are awesome. You so cool. Don't care what nobody says about you, man. You all right with me. I will stick it out with you no matter what. I'm going to see your innocence and I'm going to support you. And guess what? I will never leave you. When you hear yourself say something like that back to you, then you start hearing other people saying something like that back to you. Little stuff like that. It's just that simple, but we won't friggin' do it. Rather than leave a message to myself on my voicemail, I still go home and try to change my mama. As if that's the easier task. Amazing. So, thank you for sharing money with me and with Unity Temple. I really appreciate your support. I do the Course in Miracles in the world. That's me. That's all I do. So thank you so much for sharing with me. Doing an off the hook relationship seminar on the 12th. A lot of people interested. If you want to do it, you need to go ahead and jump on it. It's going to be unlike any relationship seminar that you've been to, and it has nothing to do with you coming with a partner, and it has nothing to do with you necessarily having to be in a romantic relationship. It's any kind of relationship with anybody is what this is about. How to have a healed, peaceful relationship with anybody. So it's based on the Course. It has a very unusual approach, and it's very powerful. And like I say, I have flyers that explain it. Let me pass this around. Thank you. I have flyers that explain it, and if you're interested in doing it, it's great to pay for it. It's $100, and we are set up to do charge cards. Or if you know you want to do it, and you want to make sure that at least know that, put your name and phone number down on the list so I have some idea of what we're expecting. Called Stephanie Padilla, who I'm doing a seminar with, also has a Course in Miracles group also. And so it's only so many people we've been able to do it with to do what we want to do. So I would love to see your face in the place. It's from 10 to 6 February 12th, which is a week from Saturday. And it's going to be a party, whether you come to the workshop or not. We're having a Course in Miracles party. And it's going to be that night, February 12th also. And I got the address and all that stuff. So it's good. One of our major tests is, can we play together? You know, it's like, I say I want to join. That's one of the reasons why I love to do classes and stuff in the living room. Is because